Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter number 20. In just a moment, we'll be looking at some verses from there. I want to speak to you today on the subject of a date that no one wants to keep. You know, we live in a very busy society today. In fact, people are so busy many times, they don't even have time for God. We get that busy, we're too busy, I can assure you that. But there are some dates that we're going to keep, whether we want to keep them or whether we're looking forward to keeping them. One day we will. I look at my calendar, and sometimes there's some dates that are not pleasant when I have to fulfill them and go to those appointments or whatever it might be. But I'm grateful today that many times those appointments that are given to us are written, demanded, and told. In recent days, in fact, weeks or whatever, I've preached two funerals in the last month or two, and one was a classmate, somebody I'd worked with. Richard's brother, actually, that's here this morning. And then yesterday, I had the funeral service of Buddy Peoples, a man that I knew, a little bit older than me. But the reality of death continues to loom in my mind and in my heart. Now, first of all, let me say that I'm not afraid of death. But I'm grateful today that the reason I'm not afraid of death is because I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a verse, and we'll come back to Revelation in a minute, but in Hebrews 9:27, the Bible said, "And it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." Sometimes people will quote that, and they'll say, "It's appointed unto man once to die." That's true, but let's tell the whole verse. After that, there is judgment to come. Every one of us will be judged, by the way, some different than others. But I realize today, unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes back for His church before we die, every one of us, and even when He comes back for the church, we still will stand before Him. But literally today, unless the Lord comes back for us, everybody in this building will die. And I tell you, one of the hardest things many times as we come to funeral services, it's always the joy to know that that person had trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. But it's a very difficult time to stand, and perhaps if you would, and thank the Lord I hadn't had that happen on a lot of occasions. It's wonderful to be able to know that somebody has made things right with God. But understand today that judgment is coming. The word judgment in the Greek means crisis. And I would venture to say that the judgment that we will one day face will be a crisis in our life. I say today that I look forward one day to seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to being with Him forever and forever. But friend, every one of us are going to face Him about certain things in our life. And we're going to give an account of those things when we're there. There's two judgments I want to call your attention to this morning. I'm only going to preach on one of them. Brother David so rightfully described them in his Sunday school lesson just a few weeks ago. So those of you that was in his class have already heard them. And today I want to share with you just about one. But first of all, the Christians are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ will be for those who are saved. No lost person will be at the judgment seat of Christ. We come to the judgment seat of Christ and we stand before Him. We're not going to be judged for our sins. We're going to be judged for our works and what we've done after we've been saved. The Bible tells us, and oftentimes we think about it, but the Bible said when we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The good news is, He said, "I've taken your sin and I've scattered it as far as the east is from the west, never to remember it against you anymore." So as a result of that, I'm excited today to know that I'm going to be at the judgment seat of Christ instead of the great white throne judgment, which I'm going to preach on this morning. But I want you to understand, I believe there's going to be some sorrow when we stand before the Lord and give an account of the works and the things that we've done. Friend, if God saved us, He didn't cost us anything. We didn't have to do anything to earn it. It was all by grace. But truly today, what we could do is give our lives to serving Him. We give our lives to everything in the world there is to do. If there's something we want to do, believe me, we do it. But when it comes to serving God, many times we don't have time, or we're busy, or there's other things that are involved. That's okay. You can continue in that way if you will, but I just want to remind you this morning, as a child of God, one day you're going to stand and give an account of the things that you did. as a Christian when you stand before God. And I venture to say today, I tell you, I stand many times, oftentimes when my dad, I'd get in trouble or I'd do something I shouldn't do, I'd face him with shame. And I tell you, we stand before the Lord. I don't want to face him with shame. But this morning, I'm not preaching on that, so I'll move on to the second judgment. The second day is called the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, that judgment will be for lost people, people that have never been saved. They're lost, and literally, they're on their way to hell. The judgment is not going to be to judge about their works, but their judgment will be about their sin. For you see, when we get saved, as I've already mentioned, our sins are forgiven. But if we reject the Lord Jesus Christ, our sin continues to remain in us. It's going to be a place of eternal damnation and condemnation. And people that are lost, they're going to leave there. When they leave there, they're not going to leave saved. They're not going to leave with another opportunity. But they're going to leave as they came, being judged and cast into the lake of fire where they'll burn forever and ever. I do not believe there's anybody in this building today that wants to keep that date. I hope today that you don't. And truly, you don't have to, because God has made a way. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to look with me again. In Revelation chapter 20, I begin reading verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth was and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And these sad words in verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Before I pray, could I just mention to you today, you've heard about hell all your life. You've heard about the fire. You've heard about the flame. But literally, do we really seriously believe that there's a literal fire and a literal hell? Well, if you believe the Bible, we do. Because it's just as real as if I'm standing here today. Somebody said, well, it'll be a figurative flame. I believe it'll be a flame hotter than any flame anybody's ever experienced because of their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my heart pleads today, for the Bible said that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come. And Lord, I do pray now that you would guide and direct. I pray that you'd give us the strength and the help we need. I pray, Lord, that your name would be exalted. Father, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts. And Lord, help us today. I don't know. I'm grateful for the folks that are here. But I realize today there could be somebody here today that has never trusted Christ as their Savior. Oh, today, what a wonderful day would be today if they trusted you as their Savior. Father, we ask now that you would have your will and way. Guide and direct, we pray. Well, thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I want you to, first of all, see the place of judgment. In verse number 11, he said, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it. I want you to understand a little bit about this throne. I want you to understand the preeminence that this has. This throne he talks about, this great white throne, is prefaced with that word great. I want you to know this judgment or this throne is unlike any throne that you've ever imagined or ever known of. This is the high court, if you would, today in our society, when somebody don't get a sentence the way they want or a plea or something that they desire, what do? They take it to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court in our land is the highest court in the land, and when they make a decision, that decision is final. Can I remind you that this throne is far greater than the Supreme Court? I want you to know today, first of all, that when judgment is rendered from this throne, there will be no appeal to a higher court. When you stand before God at the great white throne judgment, you can mark it down. That will be the last judgment or the last judge that you will face, and condemnation will be delivered. It's the place of highest authority. We understand many times the Supreme Court hands down a ruling. They say it's final. There's no other court in the land, but at the great white throne judgment, it will be final. But I want you to notice another word. It said it was great, but it said it was white. I want you to know today that white in the Bible, the great white throne, speaks of the purity of this judgment. All human courts are tainted by sin, prejudice, and fallibility. No human court can, I believe, perfectly render a fair, unbiased judgment. I hear of people going to court and certain things happening. Sometimes something will happen in our community and the person will go to court, but there's been so much news, or there's somebody that knows somebody, or there's all kind of things that work inward and roundwardly, and sometimes we wonder if justice is really served. But could I say, when you stand at the great white throne judgment, and I hope you don't, but if you do, I want you to understand that that's going to be the fairest trial that you've ever got in your life. I want you to understand there's not going to be any prejudice. It's going to be absolutely perfect. The judgment rendered will be completely fair. It'll be unbiased, and it'll be righteous in the sight of God. For you see, the judge who sits on the bench is infallible. He's not capable of making a mistake or an error. He cannot be tainted by sin. He holds no prejudice, but he renders perfect judgment in absolute righteousness and utter fairness. Not a single person judged there will leave that courtroom and cry unfair from their lips. Every sinner judged there will acknowledge both their judgment and they'll understand their sentence. For you remember now that everybody, one day, the Bible said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I run into people occasionally and they say, well, I don't believe in God. And they say, I just don't believe there is a heaven and there is a hell. Well, friend, one day you're going to stand, and if you feel that way, you're going to stand in the great white throne judgment. And although you did not believe in it, you're going to understand that God is real, that heaven is real and hell is real. But if you don't do it now, you're going to do it then. You're going to bow your knees and you're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. How much wonderful it'd be today in a good old-fashioned Baptist church where the Word of God is preached, when the invitation is given for anybody that was lost to step out and come down to an old-fashioned altar. Let somebody take the Word of God and show you how you can be born again. But friend, if you forego all that and if you forsake that and you walk out of here today just as lost as you did when you came in, your life could be required of you today, and you may be one day standing at the great white throne judgment. You said, preacher, you think I'll remember? I got a feeling you may remember some of the things that I said to you today. The person on this throne, we find, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We find here in this verse, it doesn't tell us that, but we do know in John chapter 5 and verse number 22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto his Son. In verse 27, and hath given him the authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. On down in verse 30 of John 5, I can of mine own self do nothing as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of my Father which has sent me. I want you to know the Savior will be the sentencer, the one that died for you and I. How appropriate that must be today when I think of what Christ did for me on the cross. But we find that the throne is occupied by the judge who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we think about Jesus. I want you to understand, when he's sitting on this throne, he's not going to be the poor carpenter boy from Nazareth or the humble carpenter. When he's on this throne, it's going to be occupied by one who died on the cross, was buried in the grave, and on the third day arose from the grave victorious and has conquered sin and death, and he has all right to judge us. And yes, even as Cal sang today, he is worthy. The Bible said in Daniel 7, verse 9 and 10, "And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands of thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened." His presence is so holy and so powerful, even in the heavens, that the Bible said that heaven and earth will flee away from him. The universe at that time will pass away. In 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The Bible said, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away in a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Creation at this time will be uncreated. But I want to remind you today, oftentimes in our society, you may go to court and you may stand before a judge. You may stand before a judge that does not know God. You may stand before a judge that rules in his own best interest. But when you stand before God, rest assured, friend, that the judgment will be secure. Nature acknowledges his power and glory and has a good sense to bow before him. The sinners have a difficult time doing the same. The Bible tells us that the heavens and the earth found no place where they could hide from the all-seeing eye and the gaze of God upon his life. These are the people that's involved in this judgment. And we find here, the Bible goes on to tell us that there's no sin hidden from him that he does not see. There's never a thought that's been formed in your mind that has never been revealed to him. On this terrible day, there'll be no pretending. There'll be no hypocrisy. Every sinful deed and every thought will be recounted with chilling, unerring accuracy. Nothing will be hidden. I remember years ago, a preacher I heard as a young boy, and I tell you, somebody said, you know, sometimes y'all just try to scare people into getting saved. Well, you know what? If I can scare you into getting saved, so be it. I want you to get saved. I want you to go to heaven. And if you go to heaven, you'll be glad you got scared into getting saved. But friend, today I'm just simply telling you today that there's going to be an awful event when it's going to occur, and you're going to stand before God lost, and you're going to be judged for your sin and every sin. I don't know how long that's going to take. I don't know how exactly it's going to be revealed. I realize today, God, He doesn't need video screens and videos, I promise you, but He may just reveal to us. I remember the preacher describing it as being in a big movie theater with a big screen and God putting all your sins up on that screen for everyone to see. You say, "Well, preacher, it won't matter at that point." Oh, it'll probably matter more than you think, because many believe today they're getting away with their sin. But I want to assure you today, you're not. God knows everything there is to know about you. He knows what you've been doing and thinking. There's not a single thing hid from him. And one day those sins will be exposed. One day those sins will be confronted. Now let me just stop right here and give you an insert, because I do want to give you some encouragement. Thank God he's made a way for you to escape all that in the day in which we live. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. As I mentioned earlier, our sins have been forgiven, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I'm grateful today. I want you to know I'm not grateful that I am one, but I am an old sinner saved by grace. And I tell you, there's not a person in this building today that's not a sinner. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I want to remind you that right now, I don't care who you are, if you got breath in your body, there's still opportunity to be saved. Just confessing your sin and crying out to a holy God, He stands ready. After all, that's the reason He came anyway. The Bible said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Thinking about Him not being willing that any should perish. Friend, Jesus Christ died in order that the whole world may be saved. But yet the whole world has not been saved. The whole world will not be saved, because many men will reject Him from this day forward to the day they stand at the judgment seat of Christ. I wish that I had a way of preaching, or I had something magically, I don't want to say magically, but something through the power of God that would help me to reveal to you the urgency of this message and to understand the truth that I'm saying. You know, many times, sometimes we have to prove our point before people believe us. In this world, oftentimes, we'll tell somebody something and they'll say, prove it. And if we're able to prove it, many times we prove it. And once we prove it, then they accept it. Friend, the only proof I have, and I believe it's plenty proof enough, is the inspired Word of God. The Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is counted profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, perfect unto all good works. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. It'd be better to listen to me right now, not listen to me, but listen to God through me. And know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, than to walk out of here lost and have to come to that place one day to stand at the great white throne of judgment. Today is the day of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But thank God today, God by His grace, we're living in the day of grace. The opportunity we have to be saved. I want you to know, you know what the Bible said about Noah when he went to build the ark? The Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And furthermore, all his family found grace in the eyes of the Lord because they believed the preaching that Noah was doing and they got on the ark. And friend, this morning you can stay outside the ark. And I know the Bible said that we'll never have another worldwide flood like we did back then. But there is coming a day when judgment will fall. Today is the day of forgiveness. I saw something very powerful this week on a video and of a young man from this town. And his wife got killed, and the man that killed her fell asleep and come across the line and hit her head on, killed her 7 months. She was 7 months pregnant. And I've known this guy. I knew he was a good guy. But recently there was, NBC did a special on him. And he refused to press charges against the man to start with. And then he went to him and forgave him for what he had done. Friend, in this human life, that's the epitome of what grace is, of extending love to one. And by the way, they become very close friends. And this guy said what he did in forgiving him had helped him more than anything. And it was just a heart-moving story. But I'm going to tell you another heart-stirring story. Is every one of us was lost in our sins, separated from a holy God. The Bible said we were caught up in our own sin. But it said, but God, who is rich in mercy and grace, reached down. And I tell you, I did not deserve to be forgiven. And some people today still have a problem with being forgiving and getting forgiveness. But friend, today, Jesus Christ teaches us today that our sins, all our sins, no matter what we've done, can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Today is the day of repentance. He said in Acts 17:30, He said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sin. Today is the day of salvation. There's no person, I mentioned this other night at YDC. Friend, listen, when a person draws the last breath, no use praying for them anymore. All opportunities have been foregone. I hear people talk about praying for the dead. Friend, you can pray for the dead all day long, but dead means the decision has been made. Either you've accepted Christ or you've rejected Christ. And I say today, today's the day of salvation. Friend, none of us has a guarantee of tomorrow. I could give you story after story today of people that I know that got up one morning and they had no idea that'd be the last day they lived. And I'm sure it was the way with that woman I just talked about. But yet life was taken in an instant. None of those things are going to be given out at the great white throne judgment. It's not going to be any grace. It's not going to be any forgiveness. It's not going to be any repentance. There's not going to be any salvation. There's not going to be any mercy because you have foregone the opportunity to do what Christ has called you to do. But I want you to look at verse 12, and let's look again. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Those who appear at the throne are identified as dead. You know what? That's encouraging because it helps me to know that I'm not going to be there. Because the Bible said, ye who were dead in your trespasses and sin, but now we're not dead anymore. We've been made alive unto God. Fellow said one time, man, I wish I could see Jesus resurrect somebody from the dead. Listen, we ought to be seeing people getting resurrected from the dead every Sunday. We stand in our pulpits and preach the Word of God. People today are dead in their sins, but they're made alive by the Lord Jesus Christ. When a lost person trusts Jesus Christ, the Bible said in John 5:24, they pass from death unto life. The redeemed have been given eternal life through the blood of the Lamb. Friend, God is not an Indian giver, by the way. He doesn't give you something and take it back. When He gives you eternal life, you have eternal life. And there's nothing can separate you from the love of God, neither famine or sword or peril or nakedness. Nothing can pluck us out of His hand. Leads us to only one conclusion, though. If we're not going to be there, we just read there's going to be a mass of humanity standing at the great white throne judgment. They'll be made up completely of those who are spiritually dead. Somebody said, how do you know you're saved? You just do what the Bible says and you trust God and take Him at His word. But I want you to know today that God takes their bodies and listen. You said, what about somebody that dies and they're lost and they go to the cemetery one day? Those bodies, you know, the truth of it is, I did this funeral yesterday and I made this statement. I said, literally, all of us have eternal life. We do. We're going to spend eternity in heaven or spend eternity in hell. And so, listen, we've got a choice of where we can spend it. But you know something else? Everybody that's ever died is going to be resurrected again. Everybody. Now, the Bible said when the Lord comes back in the rapture, the saved are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So should we're going to receive a new body like unto His. But those that have died, lost, are going to be resurrected to stand at the great white throne judgment, give an account of their sins. He calls their bodies from the earth. He calls their spirits from hell. And He reunites them in a pitiful possession of depravity, anguish, and hopelessness. Nobody will be left out. All are made to stand before the Lord. Listen to me today. I don't care who you are. It does not matter what your position of power is. It makes no difference how much money you have. The truth of it is, every one of us have to come the same way to the Lord Jesus Christ by confessing our sin and accepting Him as our Savior. Who's going to be in that multitude? Well, there's going to be kings and paupers and generals and foot soldiers. There's going to be masters and slaves. There's going to be borrowers and lenders. And every one of them will stand before God. None will be able to escape. None will be able to hide. All will face the righteous judge in judgment that day. I'll go a step further. There'll be preachers, You said, preachers? Surely not a preacher. Friend, every preacher that stands behind a pulpit is not born again. In fact, he tells us that many ministers are angels of light. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't preach the truth of the Word of God, and if you have not confessed your sin and be saved, and but let me give you an illustration. He said, in that day when he comes, there's many going to say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in thy name. He's going to say, sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Shocking, isn't it? Preachers. Hey, how about this one? Deacons. Hey, we'll go a step further. Church members. Popes, priests, nuns, choir members, drunks, harlots, drug addicts, pimps, pushers, grandmothers, grandfathers, teenagers, moms, and dads. I'm simply saying, friend, nobody is exempt from standing before God at the great white throne judgment who have rejected him and refused to be saved. They'll all appear before the Lord to face judgment. There'll be no escape. There'll be no exceptions. Sometimes in trials, in fact, we see something going on right now, and this really doesn't affect any of us, I don't think. But there's a scandal out in California where people paid to get their kids' transcripts changed and all kind of stuff. And there's all kind of things going back and forth, and some of them are getting jail sentences. But we do live in a society where money talks. And I don't know that it's talking in these circumstances here, but I'm just saying that sometimes prestige, power, money can get you off. This is one place you won't get off. There's nobody with enough money, and if they did, it wouldn't do any good. There's nobody with enough power, because the Bible said all power is given to heaven and earth through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all us stand before God. Look at verse 13, and the sea, here it is, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. They were buried at sea. Listen, I said a few weeks ago, God knows where you are. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man, according to his work. Every soul in hell would be brought out of that place. You know, I thought about it as I was preparing the message. The Bible said you go to hell for ever and ever and ever and ever. But here I read that they're going to be called out to stand before God. That may be the only break they get, is that short period of time, but it's not going to be much of a break because they're standing before the judge that's going to render a judgment upon them, and there'll never be another court. They'll never get out again. But for this time, for this period, for this moment, He's called them to stand before Him. They'll stand before the holy, unflinching gaze of Jesus Christ. Every lost sinner from Cain to the last sinner who died before the return of Jesus Christ will appear at that horrible place of judgment. I hope today that you will not be in that number. Friend, today God loves you. Jesus died to save you. And then I want you to see quickly the involvement in this judgment, or the process of the involvement in this judgment. Documents are going to be examined. He said, and I saw the dead, small and great. And we just talked about who small and great were. The books were open. Another book was open in the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things. These documents are open. Books will be open. Only one of these books is named, and it's called the book of life. I don't know the identity of all the other books that will be used that day, but I'm sure that there will be several books that will be opened. Allow with me, if I could just share with you just a moment, I believe one book that will be used that day will be the Word of God. I believe God will use His Word, John 12:48, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same judge him in the last day. I believe the Bible will be one of those books, the Bible, the Word of God. Sinners mock it. They laugh at it. They refuse to heed it. But it'll be used. I remember years ago when I'd take my Bible to school and people would make fun of me. Friend, I'm going to tell you the very book that people make fun of will be used to judge them in the last day. Quickly, there's the book of deeds. In heaven, a record is being maintained of the deeds of all men. One day, every lost person will stand before the Lord. They'll hear the record of his and her life as it's read from the throne. Every deed, both good and evil, will be mentioned. Every sin will be read aloud. There's sins of commission, sins of omission. There's flagrant sins. There's secret sins. There's sins of the heart and sins of the mind. And all would be brought out in the open on that day. Verse 12 makes it very clear that the lost will be judged according to their works. Everything they've done will be exposed for all to hear. You can either stand on your own record or you'll face God in your sins. Faith in Christ wipes our record clean. It replaces the record of our sins with the record of His righteousness, holy, righteous, justified, accepted, and adopted. And then there's the book of life, and this is some of my theology here, but you can take it for what it's worth. But I'm of the opinion that there is a book of life or a book of the living. This book contains the name of every person that is born into this world. Everybody. And I believe when a sinner denies and walks away without trust in Christ, I believe his name is blotted out of the Lamb's or out of the book of life. It's removed. And only the people whose name remain will be those who will be saved. Then there's the Lamb's Book of Life. This book contains the names of those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based on the evidence found in the other books. You can be sure that the evidence is accurate. The record is complete. When those books are open, every man will be judged according to his works. Imagine the horror of standing before God and having your sins recounted. Imagine being forced to admit your sins and the fact that you're a sinner. Imagine Jesus opening the book of life and showing you where your name was removed. Then imagine him opening the Lamb's book of life and showing you that every slot in the book is filled, but your name does not appear anywhere. Somebody said, is that a fantasy? I don't think so. It's a time of such horror that nothing in life can compare to it. I'm not going to belabor the point anymore, but I can tell you this. Today is the day of salvation. And lastly, and just briefly, the punishment involved in this judgment, and I believe it speaks for itself. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's a fearful judgment. It's a final judgment. There'll be no appeals. All judgments will be final. But today, Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, I don't know, but Jesus could come today. And that day may come. But how sad it would be for you to leave this building today and not know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I talk to many people and ask them if they're saved, and here's what most of them say. I hope I am. I think I am. But Jesus said, these things have I written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. Friend, where will you be? At the judgment seat of Christ where all the saved will be? Or at the judgment, the great white throne judgment, where all the sinners will be condemned for their sin one day?